You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, tonight got a lot of good news. Don't go away. And we've still got to shed some more light on what's happening. But before we get into the broadcast, the Pennsylvania Constitution Party, Northwestern Area Chapter, for people from Erie, Warren, McKeon, and Potter counties, there will be a meeting Saturday, March 25th at 6:30 p.m. That's the Pennsylvania Constitution Party, Northwest Area Chapter, for people from Erie, Warren, McKeon, and Potter counties, and actually anybody who's within driving or flying or whatever distance is welcome to attend any Constitution Party meeting. This meeting will be Saturday, March 25th at 6:30 p.m. in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. That's at the Island Park Building, Route 6 West, the first right after the Agway store. I guess it's Agway. I've never seen one of those stores. Route 6 West, take the first right after the Agway store. For information, call Chris at 814-726-1797. That's Chris at 814-726-1797. And they want you to bring pencil and paper or pen and paper. I guess you're going to get a lot of information. And that's exactly the way it should be. The Constitution Party, folks, is really roaring.
We love American pride. We need American pride to rebuild America and so we take us back to where we were, but to where we should have been. All for the people who've been long forgotten and just ignored again. Pride. With our American pride, we need American pride to rebuild America, and we're working hard for the fame and love. Now we're just surviving, while taxpaying suckers are what we'll become, while living on a reservation. Pride, with our American pride. We need American pride to rebuild America. So reach out your hand to help someone and learn to understand them. For we as a nation can make the climb together, rebuild again. Pride, with your American pride. We need American pride to rebuild American pride. Are you America's pride? Be an American pride.
Mr. Paul Story, great American patriot, has been helping us for a long time. Wrote the music, wrote the lyrics, played all the instruments, did all the mixing and recording, and sang the song. Incredible. You're going to hear a lot of his stuff on this broadcast. I'm very proud of him, to tell you the truth. And not just for that, but for everything that he's done to help the intelligence service and this country. Ladies and gentlemen, the report from the station chief in Pennsylvania. By some mysterious coincidence, ladies and gentlemen, the Pennsylvania State Legislature abruptly canceled their legislative sessions for Thursday and Friday, March 16th and 17th. Even Governor Mike Leavitt, Republican of Utah, shortened his visit to include only a private breakfast with Governor Tom Ridge, Republican, Pennsylvania, on Friday, March 17th, 1995. Thursday was the time that many concerned Pennsylvanians were to descend on the state capitol to visit their legislators to voice their discontent over the participation resolution for the upcoming Conference of States to be held in Philadelphia on October 22nd through the 25th, 1995. Coincidentally, the date of the 50th anniversary of the United Nations. If you really believe that's a coincidence, well, I've sold you enough bridges. Many Americans from other states were to come in and lend support because they know that what happens in Pennsylvania affects their lives as well. Not only that, it's pivotal. Pennsylvania is the place where the original Constitution of the United States was born. Right there in Philadelphia, in Constitution Hall. So if Pennsylvania, the birthplace of our Constitution, decides that they're going to participate in this Conference of States and change the Constitution, that does not bode well for the nation. It is astounding that so much support could be mustered up so quickly on such short notice. And that's due mostly to the hour of the time. Folks, I'm very proud of you. This is mobilization at its finest, and this call is reminiscent of the Minutemen of our first revolution, and your response was equally fine. Fine. You are to be commended, all of you. And those of you who didn't do anything, you missed a chance to do something for your country. You see, it was last night's broadcast, and your response that caused an unprecedented event. The Pennsylvania State Legislature adjourned. Adjourned rather than face you. The Pennsylvania State Police and the Capitol Park Police have been alerted to the presence of so many people, finding that now they say you just can't show up. You've got to have a permit for such an event, so they're prepared to arrest people. But we don't want to be in violation of any laws concerning public demonstrations, and we certainly don't want you to be arrested. And since the legislature adjourned, those of you on the way, go. Make your presence known. Go around to all the offices of the state legislators and give them your notice that what they're about to do is not satisfactory. Don't turn around and go home if you're on the way. And you must continue to call because it's just postponed, ladies and gentlemen. You see, this is the cowardly way they do it. They figure everybody will show up from all over America. They'll be adjourned at home or someplace else. And then next week they'll sneak back like the dirty dogs that they might be. You see, not all of them are for this. So we can't paint them all with the same brush. And then, while everybody's head is turned, they'll try to pass this thing. So, we don't want to antagonize the legislators, but convince them that this conference presents too many dangers. We don't want it. We know what it is. Several have admitted that they were totally unaware, and they thought that this only concerns states' rights. But after our people spoke to a few legislators, we have actually been able to educate them, and they have assured us that they will not now support such a conference, but we don't know if we have a majority. You cannot let up the pressure. If this passes in the state of Pennsylvania, folks, remember, it will be unlikely that we can turn the rest of the states around. However, if we defeat this in Pennsylvania, the birthplace of the Constitution for the United States of America, it is unlikely that the rest of the states will want to participate in this conference of states. Isn't it strange? Don't you think it's just really weird, you know, like all of these things, just these unlikely coincidences just sort of happen? Don't you think it's strange that the Conference of States is scheduled on the 50th anniversary of the United Nations? Well, many good people fear, and rightly so, that this could signal an end to our Constitution, or at least a change in our Republican form of government, or a complete replacement of it by a parliamentary form of government. Now, since we've been taken by surprise by the cancellation of the legislative session, and probably many of you are on the way there, don't turn back. Keep going. This must be ongoing until we settle this. We must win in Pennsylvania. We were taken by surprise by this. And we know that many of you will be in the Pennsylvania capital of Harrisburg tomorrow. And that it's going to feel to you like you're preaching to an empty church, but you're not. Your presence will be felt. We're going to reschedule this event for Wednesday, March the 22nd, 1995 at 12 noon, but we want people in Pennsylvania and the surrounding states and all across America, if you can possibly do it, to continue to go and make your presence felt all through the weekend, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Until this is settled, until they vote it down, or we lose the battle. This is our nation we're talking about. This is our freedom. This is our Constitution, the only document in the history of the world that ever truly set man free. Wednesday, March 22nd, will be the official rally at 12 noon. But we want people there every day. Every single day you must be there. This allows us time to get a permit for that particular March 22nd event, and perhaps to elicit a greater response from the American public. The response after last night's broadcast was overwhelming. You truly met your obligation, most of you. And those of you who did not should be ashamed of yourselves. You had a chance to really affect what is happening. We scared them. You scared them. They adjourned the state legislature rather than face you. Now, for all of you who have called the Rules Committee members, legislative telephone numbers, please continue your efforts to contact them. And for all the many people who have called from California to Maine, Texas to Florida, and a lot in between, and there were a great number of you, please continue your efforts to contact the Pennsylvania legislators to let them know that what they do here affects you there where you live also. And that you will not forgive them if they do the wrong thing. The Constitution Party, ladies and gentlemen, and as president of the Constitution Party, and speaking for Aaron Russo, the chairman, and all of the state coordinators, and our national director, we extend to you a heartfelt thank you for everyone who has participated and will participate again. Many thanks to all of the members, the officers and men of the Second Continental Army of the United States, and the women also. To all the members of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence and the Intelligence Service, and all the people who have called and were prepared to come, hats off to all of you. All of you individual concerned American citizens who have finally learned that you're not just one lonely individual who cannot affect change. Look what we did. Just look what we did. You cared. You cared enough to carry the fight to the front lines in Pennsylvania. Now, I urge you to join the Constitution Party so that you may become more involved and more aware of what is happening, because the Constitution Party is pledged to be at the front lines all the time. And folks, don't forget to stay tuned to the hour of the time, because nowhere else will you get the truth in a clear and concise manner. And don't forget to subscribe to Veritas, because you're going to need it. You'll be guided by responsible patriots and not wild-eyed, six-pack chest beaters or people who publish every rumor that comes along or keep you spinning around in circles on things that have nothing to do with saving this country or where we're going or identifying the real enemy or affecting the kind of change that we need to effect to restore the Constitution for the United States of America as the supreme law of the land. Now, I'm going to give you the phone numbers, the names and phone numbers, the key legislators of the Rules Committee in the state of Pennsylvania who might be convinced to change their support. Now, if they get enough calls and enough letters and enough faxes and enough telegrams, these people may bend our way. Howard L. Fargo, spelled F-A-R-G-O. Howard L. Fargo. His number is 717-787-3288. That's Howard L. Fargo, 717-787-3288. Also, Eleanor Z. Taylor. Eleanor Z. Taylor. 717-783-3137. That's 717-783-3137. Merle H. Phillips. That's Merle H. Phillips. 717-787-3485. That's 717-787-3485. Joseph R. Pitts. Joseph R. Pitts, spelled P as in Paul, I-T-T-S. 717-787-1711. That's Joseph R. Pitts. 717-787-1711. So, please, folks, continue in the same vein that you have been operating in for the last 24 hours, and we will be victorious, we hope. We pray. Now, as you ponder this, I'm going to read you a scenario. It's called The Scenario. It's from Dick Frazee. I want you to consider the following possibility. The response of the stock market to any and all of these events, the world market's response, the value of the dollar, the pre-positioning of federal troops and state National Guard units, and their subsequent use when riots break out in response to rumors of events at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, which they call the Conference of States, rumors that suggest repeal of all or parts of the 1st, 2nd, 4th, and 10th, and 14th Amendments, the response from the various state militias that have formed, your children's future, etc., etc. In fact, just let your imagination run. The scenario. I have seen the future, and in it I have seen the end of our republic. And it is scheduled for October 1995 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, end quote. It is the summer of 1995. For decades now, the United States Congress has continued to operate far beyond the enumerated powers defined for it in Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. Years and years of unconstitutional and unfunded mandates have brought the states to a boiling point. The 10th Amendment initiative, started in 1994 by Senator Charles Duke of Colorado, did ripple across the country, but to no avail. There seems to be no relief from the constant pressure of federal oppression. Following the lead of Governor Mike Leavitt of Utah and the Council of State Governments, over 26 of the states have passed resolutions calling for a conference of the states. The preliminary planning meeting for the conference takes place during the summer in Annapolis, Maryland, where the bylaws are finalized and agenda items scheduled. Numerous amendments are added to the bylaws to satisfy those states concerned the conference may turn into a constitutional convention. The meeting place and dates are secured. It will be held in Philadelphia in October. The dates are set for the 22nd, a Sunday, through the 25th. It is now October 1995, day one. Day one of the Conference of the States passes, as expected. The delegations from all 50 states arrive, and the conference chairman, Governor Leavitt of Utah, calls the conference to order and places the bylaws and other administrative rules into effect. There are several spirited discussions about states' rights and federal mandates. Day two, Monday. Day two begins with more heated debates. Frustration leads to questionable action at first, as the debate turns to drafting new amendments to the Constitution, and then the rules are suspended by a vote that passes by a narrow majority. Someone in that room moves to petition the United States Congress to convene a constitutional convention and offers a candidate petition right then and there. Several members of the delegations try to object, but are ruled out of order. The rules are suspended, if you remember. The petition passes and is immediately transmitted to the United States Congress. Congress responds to the petition and, under the authority of Article 5 of the Constitution, declares the Conference of the States to be a constitutional convention, and simultaneously declares the Conference of the States to be concurrently a ratifying convention under the same Article 5, which says, and I quote, when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states or by conventions, end quote. Congress returns authorization to Philadelphia within only hours. It is now day three. The Supreme Court refuses to hear a brief quickly prepared to stop the runaway convention, stating that the issues are political in nature and beyond the purview of the court. The court relies on Coleman versus Miller, 307, United States Supreme Court, 433, 1939. The Conference of the States essentially is a constitutional convention, now in full stride. It continues to propose fundamental structural and long-term changes, words taken directly from the resolutions passed in the states months before, to our federal government. Now, SR 12 in Pennsylvania, SCR 618, HCR 1401, or HCR 781 in Florida, SCR 32 in Michigan as examples. Legislators home in their various states are following events at the conference. They are confused as to how this apparent reversal of events could have happened. They had heeded the voices of concern and had amended their respective state resolutions with words they thought would protect against just such events as this from happening. Words that had been provided to them by the Council of State Governments itself. If only they had understood that by empowering their delegations to act on behalf of, quote, we the people, end quote, they had allowed to be created a sovereign body outside the Constitution, and that body was now empowered to create or destroy government itself. They had played Russian roulette with our Constitution, and they had lost. If only they had an opportunity to cast that seemingly insignificant vote over again. The debates back at the Conference of the States continue into the night, as amendments are offered, debated, and ratified in a matter of hours. Years and years of frustration are vented, while over 200 years of our constitutional republic lies helpless on the surgeon's table. The body politic. Is being picked apart. And the blood of all those who gave their lives for this republic has been for naught. It is the end of day three.
Change your life. You better change it now. You can grow a flower by seed. You don't stand and watch it grow. Boy, you know just what it will be.
And the world continuing with its normal everyday. Doesn't even understand what has happened. Most Americans don't even know that there's a meeting in Philadelphia. And that night, many people go out to dinner. Maybe a few parties, sprinkles here and there. And they go to bed. Day four. Day 4. Please complete the scenario for Day 4. You. Complete it. The future events outlined above. The event. Now, in your mind, you should be projecting this out. And I'm sure you can imagine. And remember what I have told you, while fictional, is absolutely possible. There is nothing far out about any of this, and it's based upon documented historical and current events, strict interpretation of the United States Constitution, Supreme Court case rulings, and the publicity. Surrounding this conference of the states and the publicly stated motives of the Council of State Governments and Governor Leavitt of Utah, to name a few. Both the Council of State Governments and Governor Leavitt of Utah have stated they want a constitutional convention. And the Council of State Governments has even drafted revisions to two amendments. Now you ask yourself these questions. Why are all the states being asked to empower their delegations for this conference when the states meet routinely and discuss states' rights, troubles with the federal government, etc., without such formal empowerment? Why, ladies and gentlemen, does this conference need power? And what will it be used for? Why, I ask you, are state representatives and senators who oppose this being strong-armed and threatened by party leadership with loss of power, loss of walk-around money, etc., unless they support it? Why has there been such a media blackout about a proposed meeting that promises to be so beneficial for the states? And that may be the biggest tip-off of all. The establishment media has completely ignored this because they don't even want anybody to know that it's going to happen. If the Conference of the States is not expected to follow this scenario or one similar, why then is the United States Senate appealing to the several states to convene a Conference of the States for the purpose of drafting an amendment to the Constitution and then consider whether to convene a constitutional convention as stated in Senate Resolution 82? You see, obviously the sponsors, Senators Brown and Helms, see the Conference of the States as the most expeditious path to a constitutional convention. And why is it scheduled to happen on the 50th anniversary of the foundation of the United Nations? Well, for the answer to all that, those of you who received the first issue of Veritas, you already know. The rest of you shortly will. If you don't wake up and stop this, you will not like what you will discover. That I can guarantee you. You will not like it. Now let me read you a letter from Senator Charles Duke, State Senator of the state of Colorado, who's working very closely with us, with the Constitution Party, with the Constitutionist Networking Center, with CURE, the coalition of third parties and large organizations to elect a Constitutionist president, and Vice President to the White House in the 96 elections. To the citizens of the American Republic, and this is dated March 15th, today. For some time now, we who oppose the Conference of the States have done so on the basis that this Conference of States is no ordinary national conference. Rather, we believe it is a precursor to a constitutional convention, or CONCON. We further believe that a constitutional convention at this time of dramatic change in our country is ill-advised and would effectively destroy many constitutional principles and protections we find virtually sacred. The proponents of the Conference of States have steadfastly insisted that a CONCON is not their intention. However, there are many warning signals that would indicate otherwise. Previous writings by Utah Governor Michael Leavitt describe our federal government as outdated and old-fashioned and not suited to the fast-paced, high-tech global marketplace we are entering. The various state resolutions being requested of the states specify that the bylaws of the Conference of States will be confined to fundamental, structural, long-term reforms in government. We do not believe it is possible to explore these ideas without coming dangerously close to a constitutional convention. In addition, Article 1, Section 10 of our United States Constitution states that, and I quote, "No state shall, without the consent of Congress, enter into any agreement or compact with another state," end quote. From this, it is clear the Conference of the States and the States Petition, which is the stated goal of the Conference of the States, do represent an agreement or compact with other states, and as such, are in direct violation of the Constitution, barring consent of Congress. On March 2, 1995, Senator Hank Brown introduced Senate Resolution 82 in the United States Congress. This resolution laments Congress's inability to pass the balanced budget amendment, and then, as the enacting clause of the resolution states, quote, "Resolved that Congress hereby petitions the several states of the United States of America to convene a conference of the states for the express and exclusive purpose of drafting an amendment to the Constitution of the United States requiring a balanced budget and prohibiting the imposition of unfunded mandates on the states, and that such states then consider whether it is necessary for the states to convene a constitutional convention pursuant to Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States in order to adopt such amendment," end quote. The resolution is believed to clearly represent the consent of Congress as required by Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. This consent document goes one step further, however, and lays the groundwork for a constitutional convention. There is no doubt. The supporters of the Conference of the States can no longer say the intent of the Conference of the States is not to convene a constitutional convention. We now have in plain language for all to see the preparatory steps to a constitutional convention. Our worst fears for the dangers this Conference of States represents to our Constitution are now real. The constitutional crisis represented by this Conference of States must be opposed by all who revere the work of the framers of our Constitution. A constitutional convention at this point in our nation's history is not recommended because statesmen of the caliber of Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin are not presently in national political leadership. Our nation has such people. Each of us must seek them out and then provide the support to encourage these people to show themselves. The time is short. The need is great. Sincerely, Charles R. Duke. Ladies and gentlemen, I will repeat what I told you last night. We are in serious trouble.
And those in government that you have trusted to protect our way of life, our principles and ideals, the document that limits the power of government and protects the Creator-endowed rights of each and every individual. These people have betrayed us. These people are running scared, for now they don't even try their various tricky anymore. They're trying to rush anything that will give them the power and the world government that they want. The dissolution of nation states, the destruction of the greatest nation that's ever existed upon the face of this earth, the United States of America. The only document, the only law, the penultimate achievement of all human history, the only place in the world, the only land, the only time in the history of the human race that man has ever stood as a king in his own right, living in liberty and freedom, with unlimited opportunity to be what he can be, to have the rewards of the fruits of his labor, to raise crops, to build buildings and cities and businesses, to rear children in safety and security, to allow them to grow and flourish and develop their minds and receive the education of their choice and worship at the altar of their choice. Is in danger of imminently disappearing right before your very eyes. It is so important that militias continue to grow, that new militias form, that you continue to prepare and arm yourselves, not for insurrection, not for any illegal activities. Everything you do must be according to the law, within the law, under the protection of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and of the constitutions of your states. This must be done publicly. You must declare yourself to be a military organization, a militia. You must know the law well enough to cite it. You must not practice racism, discrimination of any kind. You must not allow any of your members to perform any criminal act whatsoever. You must be very, very careful about who you select as leaders. You must never spread rumors. You must never listen to rumors. You must not put out disinformation, misinformation, or lies. You must be responsible, and you must be prepared. You must do everything within your power, legally, lawfully, politically, personally, in organizations, in churches, and in groups. When they are so bold as to attempt something this obvious, this out in the open, and this panicky, what, dear God, will they try next? throughout the history of the world, men and women have had one major goal: to escape slavery, to escape serfdom, to escape the indentured slavery of those who had to sell themselves in order to survive periods of hunger or unemployment, drought, or barren wasteland, to become free, to live in liberty, to not be under the heel of the emir or the sultan or the king or the lord. The most precious gift ever obtained by anyone was given to us in what our forefathers called the great or the grand experiment. Knowing human nature full well, they did not expect this experiment to succeed. We have been the recipient of this gift called liberty. We have been imbued with the responsibility to protect it and nourish it and see that it grows. And I tell you now that if we allow it to pass away from us, if we allow our children to pass back into the bonds of slavery in whatever form, under whatever name, in whatever condition, and I know full well what that will be, it will be a system of perpetual indentured slavery in a system of never-ending debt, and the individual will be chained for his life and for her life to a computer. Now, I don't know about each and every one of you listening to this broadcast, but I will tell you this, that I will die in the defense of the liberty that has been entrusted to me, and I will not easily allow my children to live in a world, a future world, the utopian dream of those stupid enough to misunderstand the human condition and think that they can actually create a better world by chaining every single individual in a system of never-ending control, under an economy that is worthless, that exists upon the premise that in order to pay your debt, someone else must go into debt, and to monitor every action and the whereabouts of every person for every moment of their life from birth until death, where they will be educated from the time that they can begin to speak and to understand all of their life by the state, entertained by great debacles and circuses and Super Bowls, where libraries and books will disappear, and in their place will appear a great information superhighway, where every bit of information, every fact, will come to you through that information superhighway via your television set in your living room, where anything that contradicts the status quo or is considered to be politically incorrect or is just not liked by those in control will disappear. as it is being typed into the system by anyone who types it. This already happens on the internet. It already happens on the internet. Certain information posted by certain people in certain use groups just disappears. For those of you who may be tuning into this broadcast for the first time, I challenge you to research what I have been telling you. Research what I am telling you now. Read our newspaper, Veritas, and prove me wrong. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. I have proven, can prove, and will continue to prove every single statement I have made during this broadcast. It is past the time of awakening. I have spent a good portion of my life attempting to awaken people. Those who are awake now will carry the burden of the battle. Those who are not awake, those who refuse to look at the facts, those who understand that their security is more important than their freedom, will be the flotsam and jetsam in the conflict. And as these people always have throughout the history of the world, they will float in and out with the tide, helpless, unable to see the future or to understand the past, not knowing where they are going and never prepared for what happens to them. Some will wash up on the sand and dry out in the sun and die. Some will be caught up in a current and be carried far out to sea and end up on some foreign shore that they never heard of. And some will just drift back and forth forever, helpless. All those who make it through will be at the mercy of the victor, neither having taken sides with right or wrong. They will be at the mercy of whoever wins. I hope that you are not one of those people. Back in the 1800s, there was a tremendous education concerning the true nature of the secret societies and of Freemasonry in this country in particular. The Hegelian dialectic was played out in its full measure, and the anti-Masonic party rose up, and Freemasons were ousted from office all across this country, and members of other secret societies. And over the years, it was discovered that the leader of the anti-Masonic party was himself a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. If you believe that you've got this pegged, if you think you understand this conflict, and if you think you know that everyone who professes to be a patriot is really a patriot, and all of these organizations are really there to help you, then you don't understand anything at all. It is time to take action. It is time to do something. It is time to stand with the clear vision. It is time to protect and defend that document, which is the only protection we have against enslavement. It is time to stand with those who are not spinning you around, chasing your tails. It is time to stand alongside those who have risked and are willing to continue to risk even unto death to protect what is ours. It is time for all Americans to understand that they are Americans. In this place where I am at now, there is no such thing as an African American. There are Americans who are of the black race, who have an ancestral history in Africa, but they are Americans. There are no Asian Americans here, only Americans. There are no Irish Americans here, only Americans. There are no Jewish Americans here, only Americans. And all who come here who wish to learn are welcome. All who come here with the intent to divide or conquer or destroy are not. All Americans are always welcome. It's time that you all look around and understand that the divide and conquer tactical weapon that has been used against populations throughout history is at work. You see, if you fracture everything, if you turn everybody against each other, if you break down the moral structure, if you turn brother against brother, children against their parents, black against white, Jew against black, Asian against American Indians, American Indians against the world, destroy the heroes of the nation, break down the traditions and ceremonies, you no longer have a nation. And no principles or ideals or documents in the face of such an onslaught can survive. You'd better think about what you believe, who taught it to you, what you practice in your everyday life, and what it all means. Good night, and God bless you all.
Medieval